Ephesians chapter 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Got a Bible, hold it up and say, got it.
Got it.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, read about 12, 13 verses for you this morning. For you were once darkness. Everybody say darkness if you would.
Darkness.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I hope you got some of that. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to do. It is shameful even to answer a cell phone in church. That's in your wife's purse there, bro. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, there you go. Thank you for that. Teresa. It's really not even her phone. She was just helping out. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that you have indeed transformed us from creatures of darkness to creatures of light. That you give us new hope and new future, new plans, Lord, that we can indeed determine, ascertain what your will is for each of us and step into that, embrace that, celebrate that, Lord, that you would glorify yourself in our midst. And we will give you praise for that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Father's Day. I thought I would share with you about my father. He was a challenging man to grow up with. Very powerful in his charisma. Turn me down just a little bit there, Joe. And a lot of battling going on between he and I. Tommy talked about some of us don't have a great memory of our father. My dad was not bad. Hard worker, I work hard. He imprinted me with that in my life. Always working on an angle, always working on something. And just an incredibly hard worker. And went to prison for a couple years. Was a teenager. And always a battle. Always battle. I battled. I learned how to battle watching him, and I realized that my battle was not a winning fight. That I was being devoured by my efforts to find success. That I was being devoured by my sin. Maybe you can relate. Can I get a witness on that? I get to the end of yourself and realize that you are getting nowhere very fast. And so when I was 29 years old, I gave my life to the Lord. And surrendered my life, and when I got saved, I would shine the light of the Lord pretty fiercely, and not always very eloquently. And one of the people I would shine on was my dad. And we would have some discussions about the Lord, and he wouldn't like the push that I was putting on him. Say, you can't change me, you can't change me. And he said it much louder than that. And I remember one time talking about the Lord. And he told me how he was in prison that he had read the Bible and that he just didn't get it. And I said, but Dad, the good news is you can. Father's Day. God choices. Talk to my dad about making choices for God. Many of us are making very good choices. We're in this series, Shining in the Sun, and God does indeed call us to shine. God calls us to victory, but many of us have a little tarnish on our shine. Can I get a witness on that? Some of us could use a little polishing up. Our shine's a little dim. Last week we talked about taking off the old man and putting on the new man, but making sure you get clean in between. Because it doesn't do any good to put the new man on top of a bunch of stink. Amen? Little shine. Continue on that theme today. Title of the message is God Choices. Because God is a daily choice. And some of us will get up. Some of us got up this morning and chose poorly. God has invested the blood of Jesus in us, in our victory. But we can get up and just head right in the wrong direction. Amen? Amen? Now, no one gets up in the morning and says, I'm really going to mess up my life today. Anybody? Say, how can I mess up myself? But some of us have made choices that have truly messed up our lives. Yes. Amen? As we go through this book of Ephesians, in the last half of the book of Ephesians, I'm hoping to come up with some wisdom out of the Word of God that we can put into gear on a daily basis that will help us to shine, that will help us get beyond ourselves. Come to our third installment, Shining in the Sun. Want and hope that you can make God choices, because choosing God is a daily choice. Amen? All right, here we go. Number one, we start off, everybody gets to choose. You get to get up in the morning and choose. How are you going to live today? Are you going to line up with the world? You're going to line up with the Lord. And as I found in my life so many years, I was getting nowhere quick lining up on the world. So we're going to spend most of our time in chapter 5 today, but I wanted to grab the last verse of chapter 4. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4, 32 to 5, 2 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Sound good? Amen. Kind and compassionate. He says, forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. God gives us a good example, folks. Path of God includes forgiveness. We receive it. How many of you have been forgiven of your sin by our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Because you have received that forgiveness, you should be on the giving end of forgiveness. Now, who has harmed you in your life? And are you able to forgive them? Because some of the stupid things that we do to mess up our lives, I'm not the only one who's done that, right? Messed up my life. Some of the stupid things we do are on a path to get revenge. On a path to get even. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, I'm just going to get that guy. And you end up getting caught for getting that guy and back. Happen. Amen? We have received God's forgiveness. And the path of God's forgiveness comes through Jesus. In a moment, we're going to take a look and we're going to see that indeed when God looks at our lives, he gets angry. When God looks at our lives, it moves him to wrath. But as we line ourselves up on Jesus, and we line ourselves up on the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, we line ourselves up on forgiveness. And it comes because of the sacrifice of Christ. Amen. Now, Paul says that we should be forgivers. Paul also says that we should be sacrificers. That we need to be on both ends of this thing. That as we have received forgiveness, we give forgiveness. And as Christ sacrificed for us, so we should sacrifice for those around us. Amen. Tommy said, maybe you don't have a great recollection of your father. But some of our fathers indeed sacrificed for us. There was times when I was growing up, I was a kid, 6, 7, 8 years old. And I would think that my dad was out of town for weeks on end. But he would leave for work before we got up, and he would get home from work after we went to bed. And we wouldn't even know he was in town. That's how much my dad worked. Sacrificial. Amen? Paul says that we should sacrifice for those people that are around us. Both sides of the trip, sacrifice and forgiveness. God gives us a choice. God gives us a course. And if we are going to follow God, we have to make daily choices. Amen? All right. And, you know, just a side note, as you choose God daily, it will propel you into the good life. That stuff that you used to do to destroy your life, you won't be doing that anymore. Line up on the Lord, and good times come. Amen? All right, here we go. Here are some things to avoid. Have you figured out there's some things that you just don't want to do? You might want to do them, but you shouldn't do them because there's a big penalty to pay. Amen? If your children started making some of the choices that you made when you were young, you say, no, son. No, daughter, don't do that. I've made those choices and they lead you nowhere quick. Amen? This is what Paul is saying. He says, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, nor any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Things to avoid: sexual immorality and impurity. Word for sexual immorality there is porneia, where we get our word pornography. And this word has to do with selling off one's purity. Let that sit in for a second. Don't have anything to do with sexual immorality. Don't have anything to do with selling off your purity. That word, therefore, impurity, has to do with uncleanness in a sexual manner. We live in a sexually immoral culture. Heinous things. Paul says God's people need to be different. God is a daily choice. You're going to follow God. It's going to require choices to be made daily and then reinforced daily. Amen? Amen. You want to take the wrong turn, you can do it. They are out there. They are all over the place, especially in this neighborhood. Amen? You can head out. All you got to do is a couple clicks on the internet, and you can be heading down the wrong road rapidly. Amen? Greed stands out here. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Other words associated with greed in our language: covetousness, lust, and gluttony. You know, the gluttony, you know, love of food, that'll derail your life pretty quick. Yeah? Sickness, disease, all kinds of stuff come. Lust, another thing that'll bring disease your way, go running rampant. Covetousness, greed, swallowed up by the desire for more. And you know what? Amazingly, this is the description of our culture. Greed, lust, gluttony. All you got to do is look at ads during the NBA Finals game tonight, and you will see lust, covetousness, and gluttony, and a bunch of booze. Paul talks about how we talk. Last week we talked about unwholesome or rotten talk coming out of our mouth. Here we're talking about being crass, talking dirty. You got little kids come in here. They cuss like a sailor. Guess where they learned it? At home. You know what? It's not a good display of your home. You're going to choose God. You got to choose daily. Our culture, impure, greedy, and crass. God calls us in the midst of all this darkness to shine. God is a daily choice. Amen? Matt, give me this mic, would you? Got a young man making some godly choices. Justin Camacho, come on up here, bro. Amen.
Yeah.
I've been hearing all kinds of things about you because you've been talking in this church, and I have yet to hear you, so I thought on Father's Day, please your dad and hear what the Lord, God is calling you to do some stuff, some big stuff. I told him you could have 5 minutes. Let's hear what God's going to do, what God wants you to do, Justin.
Hey, everyone. I just want to give thanks to my dad today. I want to share a little bit on obedience and how choosing God and obedience go hand in hand. But I want to give a special thanks to my dad, because growing up, he was really strict when it came to listening the first time. So, for example, if we were ever asked to take out the trash and we didn't do it, he would literally have us walk down the stairs and walk back up multiple times just because we didn't listen the first time. But that had led me to completely listening to God the first time.
Amen.
And I want to just thank you for that. But not only to my dad, but also to Pastor Bob and to Aaron Bugs. Growing up, you guys were the father figures that I needed, and you guys always led me to a deeper relationship with the true Father. And I just wanted to say thank you guys for that. But just to share a little bit, in about 11 days, I will be moving to India as a missionary for 3 to 5 years. And that took a lot of obedience. And in this timing, it's been a year since we've been preparing and all these things, but there were so many times where I was disobedient, and it affected everyone around me. And that's the thing, is obedience doesn't only affect you, but everyone around you. And for an example of it, I'd like to share just a little bit of how God has changed my family through obedience. This whole India thing, going to India for so long, I'm 22 years old, so my mom, she just cries every time she hears it. It even got harder to the point where 4 months ago I had to sign my will. My mom had to sign my will, and walking through the process with her is really hard. She's crying and she's like, Justin, what mother signs their child's will? Who does that? And a couple days later, my mom calls me. She's crying. And she says, Justin, I've experienced the love of God through what you're doing. And I said, how, Mom? And she says, Justin, I finally get a glimpse of what it looks like when God sent his only son. It's like I finally get to experience that kind of love. And it blew my mind, because I was like, whoa, like God, like I'm not even doing anything. I'm just answering a calling that's way beyond myself, and you're transforming everyone around me. I go home to Las Vegas, where my mom lives, and I go into my sister's room, and on the wall, they all have just all these papers, like lined paper on the wall. And I went up to go read them, and all it's saying is, God, I thank you that my brother loves Jesus. God, I thank you that my brother loves Jesus, and he's going to India because people don't know you there. And he wants to share that love with you. And it's like my sisters and my mom are radically walking with the Lord, and now my little sisters and my little brothers want to be missionaries when they grow up. Wow. And it's just through one act of saying, God, okay, use me. God, I'm broken. I'm not worthy of this calling, but God, use me because I love you that much. To me, I believe that your obedience shows how much you love God. And it's because Jesus was fully obedient to the will of the Father. Even when he said, God, like, take this cup from me. God, take this cup. He still said, Father, your will be done. And yet he came and he died for us. And yet we can't even do the same. We can't obey him when he says, oh, go pray for that guy out on the street. Give this to someone. Help someone. And it's like, God, why do we struggle so much? And it's fear. It's fear. Fear of what people think. It's fear of what's going to happen. Oh, God, there's the nerves and all of that. But I want you to know that you won't experience the fullness of God till you're completely obedient to him. And even in hesitation, even with hesitation, we miss out on so much of what God has in front of us. And it's like, God, allow me to step into your obedience, because God calls us to impossible things. I think we forget that, as God calls us to impossible things every day, but it's choosing. It's making a choice to say, okay, God, like, I'll come out of the boat. I'll walk on the water with you. I will walk on the water with you. And so that is how obedience is constantly changing my life. I just want to share a little bit on why I'm going to India. India is the most largest nation who has never heard of Jesus. It's the most unreached. And what that means is there is no one in contact to say, here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to me, I can't even fathom what it's like to not know the truth. And it's yet I get to go and share people and give them that choice, because there are so many people in India, not even only in India, but all around the world, who are dying without even having the choice to choose Jesus. And it's because of the choices we're making. It's because a lot of us aren't being obedient to the true calling of God. And it breaks my heart, because the city we're going to, I'm going to southern, and it's called Chennai, a city where it's 120 degrees every day, 24/7. And I think that's the part where I'm like, okay, God, like, I'll be obedient, but it's really hot. It's really hot. And so I'm going to the city where it's the largest population of suicide every year. At least 40,000 people commit suicide in India a year. And it breaks my heart, because they have lost all hope. And yet I'm sitting here talking about Jesus every day to people who know who he is already. And it's like, God, like, send me, because I don't want to be a light in a lit up room. I want to be a light where it's needed in this darkness, in this dark world. And it's like, God, continue to have me and change my heart so that I can walk in obedience, regardless of how hot it is, regardless of how hard it's going to be. But God, I want to be obedient to your call.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Justin. Hey, so you're leaving in how many days?
I leave in 11 days.
11 days. Extend a hand, would you? We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray right now for Justin. He's not even using his own name as he goes to India, Lord, that you have a new name for him and a new purpose for him and a calling for him, Lord. Pray your protection. Pray guidance, Lord, and a word for the lost. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Justin. All right. That was good, amen?
Amen.
All right. Our choices set our course. Justin says obedience set his course. Ephesians 5:5-7, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Many are headed in the wrong direction. I want to talk about the prize just for a moment. And actually, I'm just going to read about our inheritance in the kingdom of God. Revelations chapter 21, verses 2 through 4. This is the Apostle John describing the revelation that he had seen of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Let me go back to the top. No immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. The New Jerusalem is not for them. It is not that the immorality or the impurity or the greed disqualifies you for the kingdom. Those are the actions of the disobedient. Those are the actions of those who are headed in a different direction. It is not as if God says, oh, greedy, ka-ching, you're out. No, because you're greedy, because you're impure, and because you're immoral, you are heading to an entirely different destination. God is a daily choice. Hell is a daily choice as well. Can I get a witness on that? These are lost people. We should not be surprised when the lost act lost. We should not be surprised when the small act small. It is the way they are. It is a display of the way they are. Now, Paul says, it is because of these things, this impurity, this greed, and this immorality, that the judgment of God is coming. And Paul says, don't be deceived. Don't think that there is going to be any kind of victory with any kind of these choices or any kinds of these decisions, because you will not find victory in your life. I found that to be true as you choose to move away from God. As you choose immorality, we talked about this last week, that we come to the Lord because we are starving, that our attempts at self-fulfillment only leave us further and further away from the Lord. Amen? Amen. It is with these choices that people line themselves up with the wrath of God. Don't let anyone deceive you. God says, it is mine to avenge. It is mine to repay. See, there's people out there. Well, everybody goes to heaven. We serve a kind and loving God. And it really doesn't matter which God that you choose, because there's many paths to heaven. Amazingly, the Lord says, watch out. Don't be deceived. We have an option. Jesus gives us an option. I got two sets of verses here because they both deal with this theme of finding out what God wants from you. Verses 8 through 10, chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live, daily choice, amen. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases God. Don't be ignorant. Don't live in ignorance. Tom, can you witness on that? Amen. Thank you for that, Tom. I just came back in. Verses 15 through 17. Be very careful then. Watch out. Don't get off track. Because there's people out there that'll say, oh, you can't ever get off track. Because God will just forgive you. God will just love you. And if that was true, God does love you. And God will put you on track. But Paul says, and the Lord says, be careful. Watch out. Don't be deceived. Don't get off track. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, Paul is not talking about being in darkness. He does not say, for you were once in darkness. He says, you were once darkness. See, we get this idea. We can be fed the lie that we're just fine. That we're just in the dark. And I'm just kind of messing around in the dark, but all I got to do is step back in the light and I'm fine. Are you tracking with me? See, we are inherently good. We are inherently lined up with God. Just don't get in the dark. Whoops. Wow, I didn't even notice. No. Paul says you were dark. You were inherently in darkness because you like it. And that Christ came and did a work in you and made you light. There is a transformation that needs to occur in your soul. The Holy Spirit would come and take residence inside you, and he would take and transform you from being a person of darkness to being a person of light. that you shine because you have light. The light of the kingdom of God comes and resides in you. And that is what Christ does in us. It is a state of being, a transformation. Our very essence is changed by God. Kingdom of God, the light of the kingdom resides in you. Paul says the people of the light do the things of the light. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. He says work on it. Figure it out. Find out what pleases God and do that stuff. I used to, when I was lost, I'd say, yeah, I've not broken any of the Ten Commandments. I don't know what they are, but I don't think I've broken any of them. We're surrounded by darkness. Justin says, I don't want to be a light in a lit room. I'm going to go where there's darkness. We live in a culture where many people have heard of the Lord, but there is more than enough darkness that you would have an opportunity to choose daily to shine. God calls you, calls us to manifest the kingdom in the dark. Amen? I was, the place we're going to go shooting next Saturday is just 3 miles from Tecate. And Lisa and I worked in Tecate at an orphanage for 3 years. And I would travel through mainly California representing the orphanage and preaching and getting stuff. And I was up in Northern California, and I got a call from my brother-in-law. And I remember him saying, this is Terrence. I'm like, yeah, Terry, what's up? This is Terrence. I said, okay. He said, your dad is dead. He died today. And I called my mom, and he had had an asthma attack. And in Northern Cal, they have hazardous, like the bad air days, you know, it's like hazardous air. Don't go outside if you've got respiratory issues or asthma. Well, all the time, and he had all kinds of medications and inhalers, gone to University of Arizona, and so he went out on a day like that day, and he couldn't breathe. And he died. And I had to do the funeral. And I was in San Jose picking up some medical equipment for the orphanage. And my dad had like died the previous day, and I'm thinking about what we got going on. And I went in the chapel. And I said, God, I got to know my dad's in heaven. So I have to bring a message to my family. I got to know. And there was a wail that came up from my soul. It was not me. The Bible says that the Spirit will pray for us with utterances and groans that we cannot understand. We don't know how to pray. And this wail came up, I'm absolutely certain, just a wail from the Holy Spirit mourning the choices that my father had made that had lined him up on wrath, and that he indeed is lost. God is a daily choice, and so is hell. That's why Paul says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. God's a daily choice. Sometimes you need to say no. Have you found that to be true? Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated by the light, everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Paul gives us some things that don't work. Paul gives us some things that we should say no to. Last week we took a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Talked about the Gentiles, talked about the pagans, talks about those that are indeed lost. He says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. We come to the Lord and we are starving, that we cannot be filled. We start off with sin and it fills us for a moment, but we begin to lose our sense of touch, and we begin to lose what it means to be filled, and we live our lives in starvation. And we try more and more depraved things if we could just feel something. But we can no longer feel. And we can no longer be filled. Paul describes how the lost get lost in their sin. He says, no, no, no to that. Don't do that. He says, shine a light on it. There's an opportunity here. There's a chance to wake up. My dad had that. The light of Christ can shine on you, and you can become light. I'm living proof it can happen today. God's a daily choice. There might be some choices you might have to make. You might have to change the channel. Because there's filth that'll just come leaping out of your TV right into your home. You might have to leave the party. Or the wedding. Beer starts talking. We start walking. You might have to leave the movie. I don't care if you spent $12. God, and some of you spent $16. God's a daily choice. Now, you don't have to be a jerk about it. This is not a club. You don't have to beat anybody over the head. But we've done this. You can go to the movie manager and say, I want my money back. This is filth. You can ask your cable company to take a channel off your TV. Filth is filth, and everybody knows it. We just get used to it. Can I get a witness? All right. God will fill you up. That hunger that you have, that thirst that you experience, God has an answer. God is the answer. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, we're ending with this. Do not get drunk on wine, It leads to debauchery. Debauchery, that word, you might not be familiar with it, means to an absence of restraint. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, we've had some pretty good lists of stuff you're supposed to say no to the last couple of weeks. This last warning about being drunk on wine, well, it includes beer, vodka, bourbon, whiskey, Everclear, weed, meth, cocaine, opiates, paint, gas, PCP, anything that gets you a buzz. You got a prescription or not? God doesn't want you laying around buzzed out of your mind so that you are no heavenly good. Paul recommends a brand new direction. Now, he also doesn't want you writhing in pain all day, every day. But laying there gorked out on opiates all day, there's something more than that. Amen? Why? See, so much of this stuff leads to debauchery. Absence of restraint causes you to lose control in your life. So many of us have had bouts of severe shame because of intoxication. Anybody here go back and redo some things when you had a bit of a buzz on? Say, man, I would redo that weekend. I have bouts I will wake up, I wouldn't even know what I did. I'd redo that. He says, find out what pleases God. Do that. It's a daily choice. Instead of being guided by this world, be guided by God. He says, you can make with a connection with God that'll fill you up. Won't be walking around starving anymore. He says, make music from your heart. Come out of the darkness and let the light of Christ shine on you. Wake up, sleeper. Things will get better. God. A daily choice. What are you choosing? Lisa, you want to come up? There's some pretty heavy stuff that we've been dealing with the last couple of weeks. Digging up the emotion from my father and the pain that I had in my life, you know, you can just kind of feel heavy. Paul says, step in the light. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God. You might be sitting there, man, I am darkness. I got nothing in me that is light. I have got nothing in me that is good. And I am headed to hell as I sit here this morning. Paul says, wake up, sleeper. Let the light of Christ shine on you. Start choosing God daily. Start lining up on Him, and He will put the Spirit of God in you, and you will become a source of light. Before we go on and talk about anything else this morning, if that is you this morning, and you walk into this sanctuary and you are lost and you are living in the dark and you are saying, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to be obedient, because Christ is speaking to you this morning saying, you're in the darkness. You're in the darkness. You are darkness. You have no hope except for me and my bloodshed on the cross for you. And with nobody looking around this morning, and you're saying, I don't want to live like this anymore. I just want you to just rapidly just lift up your hand. Say, that's me this morning. I want to be made new in Christ. Here and here, 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 here. Anybody else over here? Say, that's me this morning. Back here, amen. Over here, amen. You put your hand down. That's fine. I was sitting on a Wednesday night. Pastor talking just like this. Christ all over me. I felt like my legs were going to catch on fire. And I'm going, no way. And he said, I'm going to pause for one more moment. Spirit of God is on you right now saying, this is an invitation for you. You did not put your hand up earlier, but he is on you right now. And you're